Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Front Lines. My name is Jay Johnson, and I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, catch us up. What's going on in your world, my friend?
God bless it. What is not going on in my world? It's May, and I know we don't like to time these, but I think it just makes it funnier. May should, for any parent, they just cringe in horror when you say May, because it's all of a sudden athletic banquets, award banquets, random banquets.
Yeah.
I got to stay after school for this. I got to turn my Chromebook in. I got 14 projects to do before I turn my Chromebook in. And we're just like exhausted.
Yeah. Already. You've got two kiddos. So you're running back and forth with both of them trying to wrap up the school year.
Right. And business and all that. But this is my advice. I'm giving marriage advice to everybody out there.
Unsolicited marriage advice from Donna Hoffmeyer. That's right. This may be a future podcast.
If anybody is thinking of getting married and you think you're going to have children, do not get married in May or the beginning of June. You will never celebrate your anniversary.
Oh, because everything else takes priority, or precedence.
Yeah, actually, tomorrow's our 17-year anniversary.
Very cool.
Happy anniversary, babe. But I mean, really.
Does he listen to our podcast?
Well, he did. And now I don't know as much.
Not really,
I think he hears my voice enough. He's just like, yeah, that's great.
Oh, well, happy anniversary, you two.
Yeah. So between that and business stuff going on, it's just like you, all out chaos.
Yeah,
what about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, nothing changes in my world. Coaching, traveling, speaking, another executive transition assistance program on the horizon that rolls middle of June, 14th and 15th here
on my calendar.
Yeah, so gearing up for that, and that's it, just trying to stay ahead of the bow wave as best. And then fireworks season, literally right on the heels of that, since we've said to our listeners that's something I do seasonally. That comes up again at the end of June and carries through the 4th of July, of course. So
yeah,
that's my next, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, I'm tired. Jay and I honestly see each other at podcasts. And
that's true. Yeah, and
occasionally. Phone call.
Occasional phone call, maybe get together for coffee once in a while.
Or I say hi to Shari on Facebook or something.
Or that.
That's about it. I mean, it's been wild. Not bad. Nothing bad. But I do sleep well at night.
No, well, that means you're pouring yourself out during the day.
I am. Good. And my husband's like, finally, wear yourself out. Go for it. So,
well, we've got another good episode teed up, right? Continuing on in the series.
This is probably the best episode yet to come because we're going through the Veteran Treatment Court series, and we have interviewed Judge Stevens, who's obviously the judge over the Veteran Treatment Court, Mike Fogarty, who's over all the mentors, Lauren Balow, who's the court coordinator and like does it all. She's everywhere and superwoman. And then Genevieve Lopez, who is the probation officer.
Yeah,
she was a hoot, very unsuspecting. And if you guys ever run into her, do not let that beautiful smile fool you. She does not mess around.
Yeah.
So, and then we did all that. And the only people we couldn't get, I was a little bummed, but we couldn't get the lawyers, but they are so busy and everything's very tentative. And so I just didn't want to put that pressure on, them having to stop everything. So unfortunately we couldn't get them. And then the only other one we couldn't get was the veteran justice officer from the VA. And I was really bummed because I really wanted to highlight them because, the VA already kind of gets knocked a lot, but I'd love to show like the good stuff that they were doing. But they were unable to come to the interview. And so we're like, okay, no problem.
Did pretty good though, right? I mean, we gave them a good robust overview of what this process looks like. And this is kind of the capstone.
Capstone right here, right? So the treatment court, right? What point is doing all of this unless we have somebody that's been through it?
Right.
And can speak to it, right? Because we can all be the good idea fairies and say, we have this amazing program. Well, how amazing is it if you've never been through it?
Right.
If you're just the person helping and not going through it, I don't know what, how fair the assessment is.
Sure.
On amazing, right? So anyways, I did go to Judge Stevens and say, hey, or actually Mike Fogarty, and I said, hey, would you happen to know somebody that's been through it that would be interested? And he goes, I have just the person. And I said, who's that? And he's like, George Wolf. So I am going to introduce George in a moment, but I've got to caveat this because the story's funny.
Yeah, well, it is right now. What we're watching,
it is funny. So George and I have been playing phone tag and been trying to sort out a time for a couple weeks. And life happens, right? And so we all just kind of roll with it. So I said to George, all right, are we good? We've settled on May 11th. Are we good? Yes, ma'am. Okay, great. And then I follow up with him this week and he goes, okay, so a little hiccup. I'm in the hospital right now. And I'm like, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. But I just had a little medical thing that we had to handle. And I was like, okay. So he's like, but I'm going to be home in time. And I said, no problem. And then this morning, you know, I'm getting ready to go to your house. I give him a call and I'm like, okay, are you ready? He's like, small hiccup. And I said, what would that be? I'm still here. And I'm like, you what? And he's like, I'm still at the hospital. This is not clearing up as quick as they were expecting. And I said, okay. So then I sat and thought about it. And I said, Wolf, I said, when you get home, how are you going to do this interview? You're going to do it on your phone, right? Yeah. How are you feeling in the hospital? I feel great. I just got to wait for this to go through. Would you be interested, no pressure, of maybe doing this from the hospital since, you know, you're not doing much anyway? And he's like, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So, so I am going to introduce Wolf. And from the hospital bed, he said he's feeling good. I said, if he wasn't, we would definitely not do it. But this was his choice. He said, let's do it. So, Wolf, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Probably in a little better seat than you're in right now.
Yeah. I had a little accident with my toe. And I came here to the VA, and apparently it was a little more damaged than I thought it was. So I think it was yesterday they removed my big toe on my left foot. Mm. And I'm antibiotics and stuff to clear up the infection. So I should be out here either tomorrow or maybe the next day.
But you're feeling good overall?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Taking good care. Yeah.
Good. Actually, when I went to Mike Fogarty, asked for somebody that might be willing to do this interview, he was like, I already know who it is. You were immediate on his mind. So I was very glad that you were willing to do this. So let's start with kind of the beginning. What got you into the military? And then kind of just tell your story from there.
Well, I come from a military family, and everybody was military. My dad, basically everybody was Navy, really, except for my Aunt Junie was a WAC unit before they let women in the Army. It's called a Women's Army Corps. And then World War II era, stuff like that. And then I turned 16, and I lined up going on 17, and went to Fort Hood, became a 13 Echo, and did that training, and was part of the 1st 133rd, the 49th Armored Division, and fire direction control, and started doing that. And I loved my job. It was beautiful. I really enjoyed it a lot. And then I got injured. And then from there, time passed. I was in a real bad way. And the drugs kind of hit me a little bit. But it just really was a hard road to hoe for a long time. And psychiatric stuff in and out there like that. My parents saw me at my worst, and they actually died before they saw me really get better. Hmm. I started doing better on my own and with people and the system helping me. And from there, I kind of got in little trouble on 35 coming home from the VA one day. I was on a Harley-Davidson, 16 Harley-Davidson Road Glide, and I kind of got in an accident, went down, and got five charges on me. One was pot, open container, clean scene of an accident, DWI, and a weapons charge, which was brass knuckles. And then I gave my money to a lawyer, and he basically did nothing but hand me over to Veterans Court. And I saw Colonel Ramey the first time. That's when it was experimental at that time. And he let me in. I was kind of blackballed by a judge and a DA. And Colonel Ramey overrode it. He had faith in me and overrode that and let me in the program. And I shined pretty bright during that program. I did my criteria like I should, only messed up a few times, not bad. And it just changed my life in the best. I mean, totally the best. And I've been mentoring now, I guess. Well, I haven't got a hold of a mentee yet. But I've been in court every day probably for the last 2 months. And I'm seeing how it's working, and it's working wonderful. It's changing veterans' lives a lot for the better, you know. And I'm proud to be that service to those guys and helping those guys.
Let me just shore up a little bit, George, for the listeners. Thanks for sharing your story, number one. So we're in the South Central Texas area. You mentioned 35. Wolf, I should say. Wolf is what you go by. Wolf was talking about Interstate 35. I'm a Harley guy, Wolf, so I love hearing you. Share that you ride. I love every bit of that. You were in the Army. How long were you in?
I was in for 6 years.
6 years. And then you got out, got a little bit of a wild side to you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Bad in a bad way, not a good way. Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you. You're not the only one, my friend. And so then you had this accident, and that led to the discovery of some things, and it put you in a path. You mentioned this gentleman named Colonel Ramey. Who is that?
He's a man that I met when I was trying to take care of my charge and everything for the court system. And my lawyer mentioned about Veterans Court. And I went over to Colonel Ramey. I filled out an application. And all you need is an honorable discharge. And they pretty much accept you. And he let me in. And it does wonderful things for veterans. It takes care of a lot of their fines.
Yeah.
It pays a lot of stuff that way and stuff, and it helps them. They have mentors to help along the way when they need help about certain things and programs and feelings. And if they want to use drugs and stuff like that, we deter them from it, stuff like that, and just give them a guiding hand.
Yeah. So prior to us actually starting the recording of the session today, you just briefly mentioned, you know, you needed people to believe in you. And so it sounds like Colonel Ramey was that guy for you. He was the one that saw something and said, man, you're deserving of an opportunity to kind of turn this thing around. So you give him a lot of credit for, you know, taking a chance on you and being there to support you.
Yeah. He's a man that other men want to be like. He is that good of a man. I mean, he's that strong, you know.
And George, you were actually, just to give context to this, a couple things. What year did you get out of the military?
Pardon?
What year were you, did you separate from the military?
88.
88. And then what year was it when you got in trouble?
2016 2016.
So I want to put here that during that time you were struggling that whole time, right? This is a lot of up and down. This just happened to be the time.
28 years, right? If my public math tells me about 28 years.
Yeah. That's a very long time. And here's the thing that's very interesting. You were one of the first people to go through the treatment court. This was brand new for Como County, correct?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Judge Stevens had just set this up. And this is kind of a running joke, so I'm not poking at Judge Stevens or at Wolf, but Wolf mentioned Judge Stevens was like, nah, that's not who I want going through it. And, Colonel Ramey was like, no, this is the person you want going through it. And now if I say your name, I just met with a couple of them yesterday for a whole other thing. And I said, hey, I'm interviewing Wolf tomorrow. And they all just broke out in a big smile. And they're like, he's an interesting guy. Like that. You know, and I think why I want to say that is because I want people to understand that what you do doesn't necessarily define you, right? And you're living proof of this is that you had 28 years that you were struggling
The first 12 years were really difficult. I was going back to Audie Murphy every year for the bipolar stuff. I was being locked up every year for an entire month or so, new drugs pumped in my system and stuff. And then I'd get out and all of a sudden I think I'm doing well and I don't need the medication. And then after you stop taking medication, things go south, you get trouble for fighting, all kinds of stuff. You go back to Audie Murphy. It was repeating over and over again.
Why do you think the treatment court kind of stopped that?
Well, I mean, it was stopped to a point. You know, I was, you know, the very beginning was tough. After a while, I was just coasting, really not knowing a direction or anything. And then when Veterans Court came along, it kind of gave me a direction. It really did, you know. And having those charges on me at such a older age, I was pretty much embarrassed. I was embarrassed I had those charges on me. And what my father takes, my father was a retired federal marshal, and he was actually accountable for some years of Gomel County, the precinct I'm in. And it hit me kind of hard. And then with Colonel Ramey accepting the program and stuff, it was difficult. The very beginning, man, Stevens would give me direct questions and stuff, and I'd have to bite my tongue, man. I mean, I sometimes wouldn't sleep all the way to daybreak, just praying I could meet that guy in the dark alley, you know. But he changed my life and changed for the better. I mean, in the beginning, the old guy was tough, but what he did helped me along the way.
Wolf, I love your transparency, right? Because I just made a comment to somebody last night. Man, none of us make it through life unscathed, right? We all make poor choices. We've all been hit by things that we didn't expect, faced our own trials and tribulations. I love anytime we have someone like you on, Wolf, that's willing to come in and be an open book and just say, hey, man, this is what I've navigated. But let me tell you, that hasn't defined me. Let me tell you who I am today. I loved earlier that you said now you've been going to court every day for a couple months because you're just looking for that opportunity to serve and give others. So, you know, me to you, I just say thanks for that, brother. That's amazing.
There's one story I'd like to share with you that happened last Monday. Before I came here, I didn't go through the court, but I showed up in the beginning to talk to the mentors and other people. And there was one veteran. He's talking about how he has this one good friend of his, good friend. He says, and that buddy of mine said, if I drink and drive, he was going to stomp my butt hard, you know. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? That sounds like a very, very good personal friend. He smiled.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah. I am. Can you tell me? So Judge Stevens actually is very funny. And for the audience, here's even what's more interesting. If you haven't listened to his podcast, you should go back and listen to it, because when you meet Judge Stevens, he's a very calm, very quiet, very soft-spoken gentleman. And very unsuspecting. And so he made the comment on the podcast. He said, you know, people think when we give them the offer for veteran treatment court, that they're like, they're on, you know, easy road. Like it's going to be like, cupcake road. There you go. Right. And he's like, they quickly find out. And so one of the comments he made to me or to us that it stuck with, he said, when they are pushing back the hardest is when I know they're about to break through. And so I meet you and I'm like, holy Lord, what did that pushback look like? Like, what was it as you were going through it?
They don't have the advantage you and I have. We get to see him right now on screen, and they don't get to see his facial expressions as we're talking.
I know, he's smirking. And so how was it for you? Like, when you were going through it, what were the things that were the challenges for you and that pushback?
I think we had like 22 vets in the program when I got on board and stuff. And Judge was pushing me so hard, man. There'd be like two other vets that had the same infraction I did. And I'm Wolf W. I'm like, I'll call last. You're called in alphabetical order. And that vet would tell the infraction and a little slap on the wrist. And the other vet had the same infraction, first offense, slap on the wrist. Me, first offense, same infraction, extra duty. You know, all that stuff. what they call it, not actually duty, you know, civil service. You have to
yeah.
do civil service.
Yeah.
Volunteer, yeah.
Hours or stuff like that. I mean, it's the point where after court, we all exit to the hallway and those vets say, oh man, that Stevens got in for you. You know, all the other vets are saying that to me, you know, they're seeing it right in front of their eyes, like me, you know? Yeah.
I love to hear the relationship y'all have today, though. Not only you and the judge, but you and all of the others team in this program. Yeah, it's really true. And Donna talked about, you know, already she mentioned how highly they all speak of you, Wolf, which is amazing. So if you were to, I don't know, just quickly summarize, what were your major takeaways from going through the program? Once you popped out the other side and you got to this new place of appreciation and gratitude, what would you say, you know, were the big takeaways, Wolf?
Well, I don't understand the question. What do you mean takeaway? I mean,
from going through the program, like once you made it all the way through, and then now you're in this other place where you're like, you know, now at this place in life, my age, looking at all of that, what were you most thankful for, I guess, about the program? How did it really benefit you?
Well, it was structure. I mean, I got it. The structure was there. I mean, you had to complete this task at this time. You had to do all these things in order and by time and stuff like that. And the structure kind of brought me back to the military. And I liked it. I loved it, you know. Even the point when I was getting graduating, and you know, probation, they call it graduating.
Yeah.
And I was inducted with this one Marine same time. So he was graduating same time I was. And I remember for his graduation, they had the Braunfels paper there and stuff, because they interviewed us after our graduation about veteran support and how well it's doing. Nice. And stuff. And the veteran, I remember the Marine, when he goes up there, he said this, he goes, you know, you're supposed to give a little speech before they hand you your diploma and everything. And he goes, but I know how many cops it takes to take down Marines. Five. When they got him down and stuff. So he was on probation for that kind of thing.
Oh my God. What, can I ask this question? When you got out, when you got done the treatment court, you know, it's funny, we talk about this and then you're like, oh, and then you're done treatment court and then you go live this la-la life, right? It's not really like that. We know that. So when you were completed treatment court, how was it when you were on your own? Were there ups and downs? Did you have to lean back on somebody? Like, what were you going through?
I just felt good about myself, the accomplishment and everything. And awesome. Another thing is when I did graduate, the entire time, over the last few months of it, Colonel Ring was saying that I should try to go through the training to be a mentor.
Yeah.
And I would have done it sooner, just that I had heart problems and stuff. I was going to move to Tennessee for cooler climate. And all of a sudden they fixed my heart. I plan on staying. So I would have started that a long time ago, you know, if I was going to stay in Texas. But now I'm staying in Texas. I started immediately, my mentor, doing the best I can, and helping out the vets and helping out people around me.
That is awesome.
Did you have a mentor, Wolf, when you went through? Was there somebody that was available to you?
I did. I had two. I had a guy named Wayne and a guy named Wayne Bennett and Bill. And they're both my mentors.
That's awesome. You still in contact with those guys?
I do. They're in the program with me as well. I mean, they're still there.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, I learned a lot from them, you know, being the mentors and stuff. And they're learning a bit from me too, as well.
That's awesome. No doubt. I'm sure that's true.
So I know some tidbits on Wolf that we've talked a couple of times. And so Wolf, tell me what you do now, because I think this is really neat.
Yeah.
What do you do now? Like, besides the mentoring?
Oh, my bike stuff.
Your bike motorcycle, and you're an inventor?
My motorcycling, what are you talking about?
You're an inventor and your family.
I want to hear more about the biking. Hit that for me too. And about inventing. What are you inventing?
When I was very young, I had this little electric car and it had two buttons, forward and backwards, no steering, and it broke. And my uncle took me in, he gave me a screwdriver, took it apart, And he goes, "What do you see?" I saw a wire broke off of it. And he goes, "How do you fix it?" And he was going to solder it, but he showed me how to lengthen a wire, wrap it. It's a quick fix and stuff, and it worked. And it lit a spark in my head. And ever since then, I've been building things like crazy. For instance, I invented a light-up shoe at the age of 7. Wow. I was in second grade. They were hush puppy shoes. I stepped on a nail. I pulled the nail out. The heel was hollow. So I took a steak knife, made a flap out of it, put a 9-volt battery in it, ran wires down each side of the soles. And back then, being 7 years old, I didn't know much about electricity compatibility. So I had a 9-volt battery with a volt and a half flashlight bulb in the front. And then a pressure switch in the heel, like Dorothy, clicked the heels together. And it would work. But of course, the missed voltage, it would burn out quickly, but it worked.
Right.
You have some other interesting inventions. You got to share a couple that you can share, whatever you want to share.
I share anything. I mean, I've built hydrogen generators.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Where I could cut my grass with my Briggs & Stratton lawnmower, a riding lawnmower, using a cup of water and a teaspoon of baking soda.
That's incredible.
Then I did things with you take gasoline and you don't run it with aspirated gas, you run it on vapor. I would made a vapor carburetor system type of thing, where I was boiling gasoline and taking the vapors from it and then delivering it to the block, which I thought would be tremendous gas mileage, but it went the other direction.
You've got a bigger brain than I have, Wolf. That's all I know. Yeah. I don't have that kind of creative thought process, but I love hearing you come up with ideas and tinker. That's fun. Yeah. Let's talk about biking. So that's a passion for you.
I got a YouTube out there called Ghost Rider Wolf 13.
Ghost Rider Wolf 13. I'm gonna look you up.
It's all lowercase, no space between everything, and it shows things like. I guess back in 2009, when I was going to Sturgis, I wanted to be a little different. So I made this flamethrower, but different. I'm not cutting out a cylinder or nothing like that. I'm using a butane system and gas grill ignition, and it's remote control. So your bike could be off, and you could remote control, and it throws a 15-foot flame, and very girthy with a lot of candle power.
Yeah.
And then things like put on glycerin smoke generators. And I take a half-inch tubing, go around the engine, and these bikers are looking at this tubing and wondering what the hell it is, and they see one of my saddlebag, and I'll hit the button because smoke control as well. At these rallies, all these old school see this smoke just pouring off the engine. They're like, "Oh my God, that bike's on fire." I said, "Well, pee on it, it's a rice burner." And they start doing, no. And I turn off our remote control stuff and make them up with some crazy things. Really.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've got a Road King today. I bought it about, I don't know, a little over a year ago. I had a Heritage Softail Classic prior to that, but bought it from a veteran, an older Marine. I think he's in his late 60s, and he had just had hip replacement surgery, Wolf. And he said, "Jay, this breaks my heart. I just can't do this anymore." And he said, "I'm going to make you an offer I bet you won't walk away from." And he made an offer, and I wrote a check and rode away with his bike, a Road King. And anyway, so it's good to me. That's therapy for me. I don't know if you feel that way too, Wolf. Being out on two wheels is therapy for me.
Big time. I've got a bumper sticker that says, my bartender can beat up your psychiatrist, right?
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's some truth in that on some level, right? Y'all got to find what works for you. Yeah. That is too funny. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to put this out there because it kind of ties in a little bit. So it's a little PSA, I guess. But, you know, Wolf, we're actually working with a veteran treatment court right now. And they've collaborated with a nonprofit, Comal County Veterans, and the Boulevardy Chamber of Commerce and TextVet, which is the platform. It's a searchable database. And we've all kind of partnered up to do a veteran awareness initiative. Judge Stevens had challenged us saying, if veterans have more resources, they will less chance they'll be in my court. And I said, that's a very good theory. So
talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we just started that. And I'm probably going to reach out to you at some point and show you this and what's going on, and get you some of the, it's very simple. Like there's little business cards that people can scan the QR code. But it's just there to help. It's there to make awareness. And as you know, Wolf, you know, somebody can go scan that, pull up all these services, look at it and go, now what? Right. Because we're veterans and that stuff just overwhelms the heck out of us. So the other part of that is getting entities such as mentors to go, let's look at this. Let's see what you can do. And I'll go with you. I'll show you this. I'll introduce you. I'll find the resource, whatever it is. And you know how it goes, right? Once you get the veteran there and then they find value in it, you can be hands off. They'll go. They'll be compliant, right? Because we do. We like the structure and the consistency and all that stuff. So, yeah.
And they'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends and
so on. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're trying to get more people into these resources to help them. And Judge Stevens is the one that sparked all this. And we just, serendipity happened and the right people just came together and it's just starting to launch now. So at some point I'm going to go find you and I'm going to bring you some of this stuff. So as you meet veterans, you can get them into this.
And I might be able to add a few things myself that you're not aware of that can go with the program as well.
I think that's true. Yeah. We'll talk some more. So yeah, I just wanted to put it out there because it's happening and it's all for Comal County. It is the local, but the whole goal is that it's reproducible and that we can move this outward tri-county and maybe even state at some point. So yeah.
Well, if you know, Donna and I talked when we were going into this series to talk about the Veteran Treatment Court, we just talked about we have this unique bond as veterans, don't we? I mean, all of us, things we've seen and done, you know, those that have never served, often they say things like, well, but you chose to do that, right? Almost like, I don't know if this is what
hurt me, but the way it does.
Yeah,
I felt it was my duty. I felt it was my duty to help my country myself.
Me too. Me too. And I know Donna agrees with that. But those that have never, and when we're sharing that we've got ailments or we're battling things, even things unseen, they often will say something, but you chose to do that, right? Almost like, well, that's your bag to carry, if you will. Yeah. And so we all know that's not the case. We did. We were patriots. We felt it was a duty that we had to serve our country. We did it honorably, did it to the best of our ability. And sometimes when we pop out the other side, we have things that we struggle with. And and because we are so, I don't know what the word I want to say, we generally aren't, we don't do well asking for help.
Well, we're selfless.
Yeah. I mean. And so, what advice, Wolf, all that big lead in for me, what advice do you have to any veterans listening that may be struggling? What advice do you have to them, you know, after you've gone through your own journey and now in this better kind of place for yourself?
Well, before Veterans Court and stuff, I had mentors. I really did. I have a guy named, his biker name was Grizz. I had another guy named Fesler. And they were upstanding men that did well in their lives, well with money and stuff like that, and his family. And I had mentors leading up to this Veterans Court, but most people don't. A lot of people do not have mentors, someone to look up to, which someone they want to be like, you know. And Veterans Court is that opportunity where they could actually see people that really want to help them, they want to be like, and help them along their lives. Veterans Court is a big opportunity for that. It really is.
And Don and I have shared every state in the U.S. has veterans courts. They may not realize that. Was a mentor mandatory for you, Wolf, when you went through the veteran court?
Yes, it's mandatory for every veteran that is in the system.
Okay. It doesn't,
you have to have a mentor.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that the person's going to leverage that mentor, right? You may not use it or take what they share to heart, but the bottom line is it was a mandatory part of the program.
Yeah. And what it basically is like before court and stuff, we'll talk to the mentees and stuff like that. And if they need our help and stuff, especially like people that are on like drugs and stuff like that. I mean, they're down and out and stuff. And before they stick that pill in them down their throat or that needle in their arm, they'll call us and we'll try to talk sense into them, stuff like that, and give them support, big time support, so they don't, you know, make that mistake.
And the good thing that I like about the mentor program, Judge Steven said this, is that the what is going on between you and the mentee is private. Okay, I'm going to stop for a minute. If you guys hear mowing, I'm sorry. It's going on behind us. Hopefully we can get it cut.
Right outside our studio. Once every couple of weeks and we just pick the wrong time of day.
So I just want to say that. All right. But what was I saying? I totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Ah, Jay lost it too. We lost our train of thought in the middle of that. But the whole point is that the mentee, when they are working with the mentor, it is how they get out of it what they put in, right? That's right. So if they
they're not forced to talk to us whatsoever, something like that, but it's encouraged. And the trick is talking to them before court starts and stuff, gaining their trust and stuff like that, so they want to talk to you.
That makes sense.
And I remember
also me being going through the system like the other ones haven't. I can guide them more ways because I've been through the system and I know how to do things. Like most people don't know that if they do good on their phases and everything, that they do good two phases in a row without messing up. The third phase, they can do something simple like maybe get an ankle bracelet off sooner or a blow machine off of a car sooner, stuff like that. It's like rewards.
I remember what I was going to say. That it's a private conversation between the mentor and the mentee. That Judge Stevens does not go in there and bring you in and say, what are you guys talking about? The only time that it would be something you'd need to bring awareness of, if it was harm to self or others, then you're obliged to bring that forward. But otherwise, that conversation is between the mentor and the mentee.
Yeah, it's a safe place to go to have some of those discussions. You know what, Wolf, just meeting you during this time and space for the first time, I think a veteran going through the court program would be lucky to have you as a mentor, because what I gather from you is you're going to call it straight, probably exert a little tough love, but the fact that you are someone who went through the program, so authentic, so willing to say, man, let me tell you what the goodness will be if you come in and do what's asked of you, expected of you, where you'll end up. I don't know why they wouldn't clamor to have you as a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, it's private, you know, the mentoring and stuff like that. But usually in front of the judge and everything, when things go down, is the mentee is so proud of it, he'll mention it. And what that does, that strengthens the other people in the courtroom.
Sure.
Get help when they need it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you remember, probably the last in-depth question I want to ask, but do you remember the moment when you were in the treatment court when you finally submitted? You're like, you stopped, like you were pushing and pushing, finally was like...
It's like, well, you go to court and all of a sudden mentees would not do well, okay, people in the system. And all of a sudden, the next time you see them, they mess up so badly that next time you see them, they get put through another door. They're wearing orange and shackles, and they're going to do full time because they messed up. They're going to do full time jail and stuff like that. And when that happens, you turn towards your peers, your veterans, the person going to jail and stuff, and we tell them, hey, you know, you could have done this, stuff like that. Even when he's messing up to that point where he's going to be put in shackles and have to do full time, they'll make him turn to their fellow veterans. The fellow veterans and the peanut gallery will say, hey, brother, you got this. You know, get that out of your head. You could do this. You got a family to think about, stuff like that. We encourage them to do that. It's a very important part of the system to help them that way.
Do you remember when you were in it and when you finally were like, you kind of submitted and said, I need to straighten, go fly straight here?
Because, man, you know, I'm the way I am and stuff, and I'm pretty straightforward stuff. And Judge was on me hard. And I said something to him. I don't remember what it was, but he looked me straight in the eye. He goes, do you want to be in this system or not? And, man, I had to bite my tongue like no other time in my life. And I wanted to be in this program. That was the deciding factor. You know, oh, God. Ooh. But that was the pressure I needed. That was the pressure I needed to help me.
He knew. He knew. I'm sure he's going to totally love this interview. And proudly, you know, I don't mean that really sarcastically, but proudly to see where you're at, and really the validation that the system works.
It does. It really does.
That's awesome. What do you have anything else? I think it's about time to, as you say, land the plane.
Yeah, land the plane. Well, I looked this up just now because I thought listening to Wolf just share, and I talked about his transparency, and it's not always easy to do that, right? It's not always easy to stand tall and say, man, I haven't always made the best choices, but this quote resonates with me. It says, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Mark Twain. And I think for those of us that have served and the things that we've seen and done and the things we carry with us and choices that maybe we've made along the way, when we're willing to stand tall or sit tall in the saddle is what I like to say as a rider. And own what's ours to own, but not let it define who we are. I think that's when we really begin to experience this beautiful thing called life. And Wolf, I really thank you for graciously sharing time, joining Donna and I, sharing stories, you know, some not easy maybe to share, but meaningful, and even bringing some humor in all of this. I love your energy, and it really is an honor to meet you and good to know you.
Thank you for this opportunity. It's going to help a lot of vets. The word's going to get out. It's going to help them.
I believe that.
I believe that greatly. And I appreciate you doing it from your hospital bed.
Yeah, I mean, that's even more. People don't understand. I mean, you've been through a lot, Wolf, just in the last 24 hours. You've been through a lot, and yet here you are.
With grace. I mean, that's pretty awesome. So I cut off my
left toe, my big toe.
Well, hopefully you can still shift or do what you need to do on the Harley.
Oh, I can modify my boot. Oh, no problem. I can shift, no problem.
Yeah, you've got the inventor mind. It's going to be done. I cannot wait to see what's going to be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. And everybody, this right here is really what we want people to see, that this Veteran Treatment Court works. The one in Comal County, we know the whole team. They're amazing. They work together well. They really, truly believe the veterans deserve that second chance. And so if you are curious, look around in your county. Almost every single county has a veteran treatment court. And there is a way to give back in the mentor program. It is worth every penny. And just hearing George, he's the best validation of the program working. So on behalf of our parent podcast, Coming Home Well, and us at Beyond the Front Line, we hope you guys have an awesome week.
Yeah. Take care, everybody. All the best. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Front Line, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.